If we'll open them to the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to speak this morning, wanted to speak to you on the challenge to dads. Now, you that are not dads, don't go to sleep. There's something here for you too, okay? Whether you have children or not, whether you're a man or not, there's something here for you, and I hope you'll pay attention. And those of you who are dads, and you say, my kids are all grown, it's all over, it ain't. So keep listening, all right? Keep listening, if you will, this morning. The book of Ephesians is an interesting book. It's got instructions for wives. In chapter 5, directly, wives are addressed. In chapter 6, verse 1, it begins addressing children. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's instruction there. If you're a child, you're to do that. If you're children, you're to do that, okay? But then we get to verse 4. The Bible says, and ye fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to tell you, if you've not figured it out in reading the Word of God, the Bible puts tremendous responsibility upon men. The responsibility placed upon a father is even greater. I've told people, I personally believe this, I believe it's the mom, the mother, the wife, that makes a home homey. Homey, all right? You decorate us, men, we don't care. We don't care. If you were to walk into my study, you could tell I didn't ask my wife how to decorate it. She was in there one day. She said, you should have done this. You should. I said, yep, but I didn't. So that's my office, and that's it. You just got to live with it, all right? And by the way, what she said was right. But I ain't doing it, okay? Just not going to do it. It's the mom's, it's the wife's touch that gives a civilizing influence upon husbands and kids. Yes, sir. And we need it. We need it, you know? Most of us men would get along with very little in the way of decor and beauty. I would just stick stuff on the wall that I like. And I'd put it where I wanted to. And if you came in and said something about it, and I would tell you, not your house. All right? You know, and I wouldn't be mad at you, and I wouldn't want you to be mad at me. But I just have no knack for that kind of stuff, you know? But I won't say this. It's the Bible, and the Bible makes it plain that men are going to be called upon to give an answer for their home. As far as how it operated, how it existed, in comparison to what God said it should be. We'll answer for that. I don't think there's any greater challenge in the Bible than what's found right here in our text to fathers. Ye fathers, notice what it says. Provoke not your children to wrath. We're to be careful about that. Don't provoke them to wrath, but at the same time, we're to bring them up, the Bible says, in the nurture and admonition, all right, in the Lord. So don't provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, some people look at that and say, you can't do that. Because when you try to bring them up, they're going to get mad. But you don't have to provoke your kids. You don't have to. And you shouldn't, you know. I almost compare provoking like poking them with a stick, all right? I've seen people, you know, out provoking a snake with a stick to get that snake to strike. I said that wrong. I said I've seen people out. I've seen people on TV. If I was there, I'd be trucking it. I wouldn't be hanging around watching. But I've seen people do that kind of thing just to provoke some. Some people provoke their children just because you got a problem with yourself and you goad your kids. Somebody will take you out behind the barn and work you over, all right? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. But what about this nurture admonition? The word nurture involves training and upbringing. If you look up that word admonition, the word admonition involves reproof and counsel and warning against that which is false. So I want to look at all of that and said, how in the world can we do it? I want to boil it down to five things, all right? Five things this morning. We'll get very simple message, all right? Very simple message. I'll preach fast. We'll get through fast, all right? So here we go. Number one, love them. Love them. You ought to love your family. You ought to love your family. Everybody needs to be loved and to know they're loved, but especially children. They need to be loved. They need to know their love. All right? Now, I'm preaching some of you here. Your kids are like mine. They're grown. They're out of the house. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, I didn't do a good enough job. Well, why don't you work on it now? Amen. Hey, it's still okay to love your kids. It's still okay to love your kids. It's all right to let them know you do that, all right? Kids need that. They need that feeling that, hey, somebody loves me. A lot of folks in the world may not love me, but I know somebody does, all right? I know somebody does. And kids need to know that. You need to let them know you love them. You need to let them know. It's good to say it. Good to say it. Can I say this to you? I do not remember my dad very many times ever saying, son, I love you. No, sir. And he did it a lot more. Now, he never did it a lot, but he did it a lot more when we were grown than I remember as a kid. Amen. Yes, sir. But I never doubted he loved me. Never. Amen. I never doubted he loved me. He said, why? He didn't say it, but he showed it. But he showed it. You know, it's one thing to, by the way, you can say it and not mean it. You can say it and not mean it. It's easy. Well, so I love you, and you're lying through your teeth, all right? But you ought to not only say it, you ought to show it. You ought to show it to your family, your children. Show them you love them. Now, hey, wait a minute. That means it'll take a little time. It'll take a little time. Okay? It doesn't always, you just can't, and that's the reason I think some people get messed up, because it does take time. I started to call my son up here, but I'm not going to do that to him, all right? It demands some physical contact. It demands some physical contact. Now, men can show love to their sons, especially with a bop, you know? Amen. Now, don't do it when they're 2 years old, barely can stand up, hit them and knock them down, all right? That's not the time. But I mean, as they get older, you know, it doesn't have to be a hug. But there's nothing wrong with a hug. Oh, man, I just don't hug people. Well, you're missing out, buddy. You're just missing out, all right? I'm glad that my kids still will hug me. I don't have to initiate it. And if I go to hug them, they don't go. It's comfort to know that, all right? Hey, man, just show it. Show it in the things you do, the way you speak, and the words that you use. Let them know you love them. People need to hear that, all right? People need to hear that. Children especially. Hey, if you've got younger kids, let them know you love them. Let them know you love them. And can I say it this way? After you say I love you, it shouldn't be followed with the word but. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I love you, but, okay, what's the bad news? You know what I'm talking about? The only time you tell them you love them is when you're fixing to ream them out about something. Well, it shouldn't be like that, all right? That those words ought to be, hey, I love you. They ought to know you love them. You ought to tell them. You ought to show them. You ought to give them a hug every now and then, you know, walk up and bop them one. You know, you just give them that. They need that. They need that. But not only love them, lead them. They need leadership. There is a dearth of leadership in our land. Period. Across the board. We don't have leaders. I worry about our country. I worry because of the lack of leadership that is there. The man on the tell you, I really worry about our homes. Homes are going to function better if there is a man in the lead. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave, I really need to be in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Hey, God designed the man to be the head of the home. Now, that verse just bothers a lot of people in our day, but could I point out to you, it's still in the Bible. And don't get mad at me, I didn't write the book. If the Lord will let me tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject. Your problem is with the Bible. Your problem's with the Bible. Now, I'm really not talking about you. But it's the world's problem. The world's problem is with the Bible. But it's in that way with a lot of people, some even Christians. We get upset when a preacher comes along and says, hey, the dad, he's to be the head of the home, and man, people rise up and fight it out. There ought to be 50-50, and ought to be this or that. Look, there needs to be leadership. There needs to be leadership. Children need to be led, not just herded, okay? All right, get moving. Hey, move along. They don't need to be herded. They need to be led. Somebody needs to step out, take the lead, and show you here's the way you do it. You lead by example. Yes, sir. By example. A lot of people like to lead by this. Get up, do this. Do that. Mow the grass. Take out the garbage. But that example part escapes them. You see, to be the example, you need to show your kids how to do it. And what to do. They need to see it in you. They need to see it in you. It ought to be involved, all right? Ought to be involved. So you need to be the leader. You need to step up. Show them, here's the way you do things. Give them a good example to follow. Just lead them. Hey, one of the smartest things to do, you lead them to the house of God. Worst thing you can do is lay in that stinking bed and say, well, go, y'all go. I'm going to stay here. Get up and go. Get up and go. Quit sending them and take them. Lead. Here you go. I'm going to lead you where you need to go. All you have to do is follow me. Say, Dad, how should I live? I'll show you. Not just telling. It's like my ninth grade health class. Smoked like a chimney. Told us, hey, you guys don't smoke. Right, man, we're with you. You're the man. You got it, all right? Hey, you stand before your kids ought to be able to say, you don't know how to live? I'll show you how to live. You follow me. You live like Dad lives. You act, hey, you talk like Dad talks. They ought to be able to hear you and follow you because they've heard your talk. But if they did, would they get in trouble at school? Say, man, getting a little quiet. Hey, we're to lead by example. Lead by example. I never have really understood why some things were fit for adults but unfit for children. A lot of those things that say, well, you know, you're not old enough. Well, none of us are old enough. All right? Love and leadership gain respect so the followers will do as commanded. Love and leadership go together. One of the reasons I didn't really have trouble with my dad's strictness was his love and his leadership. They went together. They were together. They worked together. I saw that. So I was willing more so instead of rebelling and fighting against it, I was willing to say, okay, I'll do it. All right. You see, leadership's more than giving orders. It's more of setting the pace. It's setting things. Here's the way it ought to be. I will show you how you ought to live. The Apostle Paul told folks in the churches in the New Testament day, he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. You ought to be able to stand before your family, men, and say, you follow me as I follow Christ. Good example. You love them. You lead them. And yes, you lick them, all right? And I don't mean with your tongue, okay? I mean, you pull out the belt, the switch, the paddle, and you lick them. Notice that love and lead, though, come before the punishment.
Yes,
sir. Come on, be honest with you. You can paddle a child, but if you don't love them, the paddling won't do them any good.
Exactly.
Paddling won't do them any good. It won't help. It won't make a bit of difference, all right? I believe this. There's not a child that's ever been born that's not needed correction, that's not needed a spanking at some time or another. They need that, all right? And in this day and age, I believe we live in a day where families are afraid to do it. Just afraid to do it. I wouldn't suggest you do it in a Walmart parking lot, okay? I wouldn't suggest you do it in a crowded restaurant. That wouldn't be the wisest thing for you to do, okay? But can I say this to you? You know, I've seen kids out before. I have told parents before, you need to smack that youngin. You said, how'd you get away with it? You smile after you say it, all right? You know, you don't say, you don't yell at him. You say, man, you need to smack that youngin. And they needed it, all right? They needed that. Look, it's not a beating if it's done correctly. It's not a beating. My dad always used to say the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge would produce wisdom. And he was right, all right? Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth betimes. If you love them, you will chasten them. They need that. They need that, you know? It's just part and parcel. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm not really following my notes too much. Every situation doesn't demand a spanking. Every situation doesn't demand a spanking. Sometimes a good talking is demanded. And it's an appropriate thing to do. It's the right thing to do. I don't know what kind of parents you had, but my dad, there were times I just said, Dad, just I said, get the belt and just go ahead and whip me, all right? I don't want to have to listen. I want to have to listen to what you say. Could you just go ahead and whip me, all right? But sometimes it can be handled with just words. But I'm going to tell you this, screaming and yelling are never the way to produce discipline. Never the way to produce. I asked a parent not too long ago, not anybody you know, so don't look around and say, wonder who did it. I asked a parent the other day, a few days back, I said, what do you do when your children disobey you? And this parent said, I yell at them. Now, I appreciated the honesty.
Amen.
But I don't know if y'all notice this or not. Kids have a wonderful ability. They can go click. And they don't hear you. They don't hear you. They just tune you out. Now they can be looking at you with a relatively intelligent look on their face. But they're not listening. They're not listening. I had a teacher in school one time, and I finally told this teacher, I said, look, after 30 minutes, quit. I said, as a matter of fact, before you get to 30 minutes, I said, but by the time you get a certain amount, I just want you to know all those kids down there in the class, they're looking at you, but they're not listening. You just might as well shut up and go on your way. You're wasting your time hollering, yelling, screaming. That doesn't produce discipline. You need to learn to discern what's needed. Does this demand a spanking? Or does this demand something else? And everything shouldn't be a spanking. Everything shouldn't be a spanking. But sometimes it's needed. You need to discipline your children, okay? You need to have them do what you say. Brother Gary Way's a friend of mine. He told me, he said, when I was raising my kids, he said, they'd be playing in the floor. And he said there wouldn't be nobody doing anything wrong. And I'd say, hey, both of y'all quit playing. Get up here and sit on the couch. And they'd get up and sit on the couch. And he said, I was teaching them to do what I told them to do without saying, well, why? He said, just get up here and sit on the couch. He said, well, why'd you do that? He wanted to teach them to do what he said. Instilling in them some discipline. Look, that is so important, all right? So important. The worst thing you can do is raise the little princess. Or the little prince who can do no wrong. Because when they get grown, they expect everybody else to treat them that way. And can I say this to you? I've watched multitudes of them. They're not happy, and nobody around them is happy. Very long. Until they get that attitude out of them. Don't raise them that way. Don't let that happen. You love them, you lead them, you lick them if they need it, and then you learn them, okay? Yes, I know, Ms. Brown, teach them is the right way to say that, all right? But you learn them, all right? You spend some time. Training is something that's left out in far too many homes. That word nurture, training. We're to train our children, all right? Train them to be polite. Train them to follow directions. Train them to treat people right. Train them to put God first. Train them to be obedient. Train them to work. That's our job, parents. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa, that's your job. No, no, my job's spoil them. Find that in the Bible.
Amen.
That's not your job. Your job's to help Mom and Dad. Right. Raise those kids, those grandkids of yours. I don't know about you. I don't want spoiled kids. I don't want my kids to be spoiled. I don't want spoiled grandkids. Yes, you say, well, you can send them home, but they stay too long when they're spoiled. All right? I don't like spoiled kids. And I don't like to be around them. And usually they don't like to be around me either, but okay. I just think we ought to train them. The reason they don't learn to do things is we've not trained them. We've not taken that little bit of time. Now, listen, it doesn't have to be in a formal setting. And I never got my kids together. All right, y'all sit down. Dad's fixing to teach y'all something. Y'all ready? You listening? Here we go. All right, number one. We never did that. We never did that, but I tried to train them. Tried to train them through life. Tried to train them how to teach people right, okay? I tried to do that by example.
Amen.
You know, we talk about in this world today, talk about, I got this problem with bullying.
Yeah.
Everybody bullying somebody else. Look, you just treat people right, okay? And you ought to treat your children to treat people right. You ought to teach them how to be polite. And the words thank you shouldn't have to be goaded every time. Now you teach them young as they grow up, they learn to say thank you. Good thing to do, all right? Now it takes time though. Have to put in a little bit of time. Like I say, it doesn't have to be in a formal setting. It can be done in bits and pieces here and here a little bit, there a little bit, but it needs to be done. You said, preacher, it's too late. My kids are teenagers. Okay, you got a harder job. You haven't been working at it, but you still need to work at it. Still need to do it. My kids are grown. They're still messing up. Work at it. Don't give up. Now you got to do it a little differently than when they were at home, okay? You got to do it a little differently than when they were at home. You can't, you know, head to the bedroom. I'm getting a belt. You can't do that, all right? But you can still train them. You can still instruct them. You can still teach them, okay? But you have to learn to persuade it. Persuasive. Do that. Hey, Dad, that's your job. Now, I'll be honest with you. I know this morning I'm covering a ton of ground in the message. But you and I need to learn that we've got a responsibility. We want somebody else to do it. Well, let that person do it. Or let the schools do it. That's not the school's job. It's your job. So I'm going to take them to church and Sunday school. Good. That's part of leading them. But you still have a responsibility to instruct them. Don't leave it up to the Sunday school teacher. Don't leave it up to the preacher. Don't leave it up to the youth director. You've got a job, all right? Train them. Train them. Learn them. Lead them. Lick them if they need to be. But you love them, all right? But the last thing I want you to see is lead them. He said, preacher, wait a minute. No, I don't mean desert your family. I don't mean put in my time and your kids, you're out of the house, you're on your own, forget it. I've talked to people that told me, my dad told me that if I turned 18, I had 6 weeks. And if I, he said, you got 6 weeks, get a job and get out of the house, and if you're going to go do this, I'll let you stay here a little bit longer, but you're out of here. I'll tell you what, I'm glad my dad didn't do that to me. I wouldn't even think about doing that to my kids. I'd tell them, look, you've reached 18, you're on your own, get out of here, see you. No, I didn't shake my hands off, knock the dust off. I remember when the last one left home, and there was that feeling of loneliness until the next morning. And then it was, man, it's quiet around here, isn't it? Peaceful. Hey, now, when I say leave them, here's what I mean. I mean you leave them a lasting legacy. Can I say this to you? You don't cease being a dad when your kids leave home. You don't cease being a dad. That's not done. I believe this. I don't believe you cease being a dad at death. He said, preacher, what in the world? Hopefully, your skill and your word as a dad will continue as long as someone remembers you on this earth. I mean, you're to leave a lasting influence. A lasting influence. I read oftentimes, especially around Father's Day, I'll see things on Facebook where somebody said, boy, sure miss my dad. And they say it about their moms too, you know. Sure miss my parents. Wish I could talk to them. Wish I could. You know what? I could say the same thing, but the truth of the matter is I could sit down and pick a subject and I would know what dad would say. I can still hear him. I know what he'd say. He left something for us. Can I say this to you? You need to have that lasting legacy, all right? Leave them a legacy they don't need to be ashamed of. Leave them with something that's going to help them in this life. That they know what it is to live a clean life. That they know what it is to be honest. That they know what it is to be fair. That they know what it is to be faithful as a child of God. As a Christian, you ought to be concerned about your Christian influence. And you ought to have that desire, I want to leave that legacy of faithfulness. I think of some men that have been in this church since I've been here. They've now passed. They're gone. And I remember their legacy. And now, I'm going to tell you, don't get excited. I could name a ton of men. But I think of two. I think of Brother E.E. Cooper. Brother Cooper, big, tall fella. And white-headed. When we moved to Fort Worth, he was already that way. He was deacon in the church. Boy, he left a legacy of faithfulness. Man, he supported the preacher. You say, well, that's because you're the preacher. No, I wasn't. Dad was. But Brother Cooper stood with the pastor. Brother Cooper knew what it was to be faithful in the house of God. He would be in service. When his wife passed away, he started going on youth activities. I was the youth director. He was in his 70s at least, and he would go on youth activities with us, all right? He drove the bus to youth camp with me one time. And boy, we had a good time together, fellowship. What a faithful man he was. Left a wonderful legacy. Wonderful legacy. I think of Brother Barber. Brother Barber's a faithful man of God. Amen. Faithful to be in church. Faithful to work the bus route. I'd have never thought it, but you could have driven all over Diamond Hill and you could have found somebody that could have said, Poppy goes to your church. That was Brother Barber. I mean, they would see him in the grocery store. Poppy! I was amazing the work he did on the bus route. I never would have thought that, but he was. Faithful. Left a legacy. I'll be honest, I just go on and on. Of those that left a legacy, I want to ask you here this morning. You said, I'm not a dad. I'm not a mother. Great. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? What kind of legacy are you going to leave? Hey, Mom, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? Dad, what kind of legacy are you going to leave? You're going to leave this world one of these days. What kind of legacy will you leave? Will it be a legacy of honesty, fairness, faithfulness, obedience? Or is it going to be a legacy where your kids will be saying, I'm a little bit ashamed of Mom or Dad? Look, it doesn't have to be that way. You say, preacher, it's too late. No, if you're alive, it's not too late. It's not too late to work to change the mistakes and the sins of the past. It's just not too late to do it. You say, well, I made a bunch. Haven't we all? But it's not too late to work to fix it. You said, messed up. Okay. Hey, can the words I'm sorry go a long ways. I apologize. I regret what I did. I wish I'd have done differently. Those words go a long ways. You can work to rebuild relationships. You said, well, it'll never be open. You may have to work real hard. You may have to work real hard. And by the way, you may be the one who has to do all the work. You might be able to sit here this morning and say, well, it's not all my fault. It probably isn't. But if you want to rebuild the relationship, you may have to do most of the work. But I want to tell you what, it's worth it to leave the legacy you want to do. It's worth it. Hey, if you've got children and the prodigal has departed, leave the door open for them to come back. I would never say to my kids, I wouldn't say this to my grandkids, look, if you do this, you walk out that door, you are never coming back. I won't let you. Not this boy. I ain't saying that. I'm not about to say that. No, sir. Hey, what kind of legacy you're leaving? A lot of it's going to be determined by whether or not you're right with God. Because the truth of the matter is, in a lot of the things I've said this morning, if you're not right with God, you don't care. But if you're right with God, you've got a concern. Got a concern. Listen, just the simplest message I know that I could think of on Father's Day. But things that are so important in our day, so often left out. You learn to love your kids, your family. You lead them. If necessary, you lick them. You give them the discipline. You give them the punishment they need. You learn them. You teach them. You train them. And then you leave them a legacy they can be proud of. Hey, how you doing on those things? How you doing? Maybe you need to spend a little time at the altar this morning. I hope you will. Hope you will. Let's stand together as we pray. Heavenly Father, I pray.